You're listening to the Art of Play podcast. Here we talk about the research of fun, talk to people who are contagiously playful, and invite you to find creative ways to stay curious and developing your best human self. Happy Friday, everybody. We are headed into a really great weekend. It's beautiful weather here in Utah. And I hope it's beautiful where you are. I've been doing something on my personal Instagram of a daily dose of spring where I take a picture of something that I see on my morning walks with the dog. And it's actually been really, really good for me to kind of enjoy spring a little bit. Here in Utah, we call spring and autumn the two shoulder seasons. And they're usually really short. We have a long winter and a generally pretty long, very warm summer. And it's actually been very enjoyable, even on the rainy days or the colder days of spring, to find something beautiful to enjoy on my walk and enjoy all the blossoms that come up, all of the new growth on the plants. It's been really fulfilling. I highly recommend it. But today, we are talking about intuition. Now, that is going to be our theme for the month of May. And before you think this is going to be some hippy-dippy baloney sort of feel, I can't guarantee that I will not bring my hippie self to the podcast. But at the same time, I want intuition to mean something to you that you were born with. There is an innate intuition in all of us. When we're born, we all have kind of a sense of how things are going. And even scientifically, it's proven that the more face-to-face interaction a child gets, the better they are at reading emotion just by somebody walking in the room and being intuitive about what is going on, maybe, you know, in the subtext of an interaction. So I want you to think of intuition as being something that is maybe a little bit intimidating if you don't understand your own intuition, but at the same time, something, it's like a muscle you can flex. It can grow, it can get stronger, and you can be more adept at using your intuition if you actually put it into practice. So I'm going off of, I thought I would do a little experiment for the month of May and get myself maybe more comfortable not using notes. So I have made myself an outline that is less like a script and more like bullet points. So I'm hoping to keep my ramble to an organized format. However, there's three things I want to touch on. And the first is the overall definition of intuition, but also your own personal definition of intuition. We'll get into that a little bit today, just the definition surrounding intuition. Then the second is, what does your intuition actually do for you? So what comes from your intuition having meaning in your life? And then ways to practice using your intuition. So those are the three things we're going to talk about: the definition, then the meaning of your own intuition, and then ways to practice using your intuition. Overall, I think we're all pretty aware, kind of, we know what the word intuition means, but it's pretty typical that words such as intuition have multiple meanings across multiple spectrums. You know, in psychology, it's going to be different than in just the basic dictionary. So I want to read you just a few definitions of intuition just to see how they differ. For example, in psychology, intuition is a form of knowledge that appears in consciousness without obvious deliberation. So it's often referred to as a gut feeling tends to arise holistically and quickly without really the knowledge or awareness of the underlying mental processing of information. So it literally means the conclusion your body comes up with without having to deliberate. So it's just your sort of instinctive or built-in reactionary system and that gut feeling. You know, it's your brain analyzing your coworker's face and knowing they're having a bad day in a split second. It may be watching your child go down a hill on a scooter and knowing that their unsteady body looks like they're bracing for a fall before the fall happens. It may also look like intuitively knowing you need to have some hard conversations with a few friends so that they are better friends for you, and knowing that that feeling is right, that you need to figure out how to have those conversations. All of those feelings kind of encompass what intuition means, but in psychology, they really do mean that it's literally the processing your brain goes through. It's a conscious processing. It's not like it's happening subconsciously. The conscious processing without you being aware. So you are not deliberating a conclusion. It's simply the conclusion your brain comes up with without deliberating. Now, another, you know, that's kind of the psychological, you know, remove the hippie out of the intuitive process. And that is the definition of brain processing that you would get. Now, just the regular dictionary has multiple definitions because, you know, we use intuition in a number of ways in sentence structure. One of the definitions that I really like is very short. It says quick and ready insight. So it's the quick and at the ready conclusion that your brain comes up with. And intuitively, we know certain answers before the question has been completed. You know, you know things before somebody asks, or you know things, you know someone's going to even ask for something before they even ask it. Some of those things come about just by us having very advanced brains and being able to read into actions of others. And it even is quick and ready insight into decisions that we are processing. You know, sometimes these heavy decisions, big decisions that we make, for example, like when I was making the decision to go back to school, a lot of my time focused on other things, my brain was still processing that large decision. And my intuition is telling me like, this is a good idea. This is something that you want. But the logic in my brain is to, you know, giving me all of these reasons why it would be hard, giving me reasons why it would be expensive and take time for my kids. And all of the other processing factors are going on behind the scenes, right, as I'm processing. But your intuition kind of sticks to one answer. It kind of sticks to intuitively you want X. And in order to get X, certain things have to happen. And whether your logic takes you there or not is kind of the deciding factor. Your intuition can't make you do anything. It's simply the knowledge presented by your brain processing. Now, a lot of this can be construed as, you know, I mean, there's also the definitions that intuition is you're born with it. You're born with sort of a compass of intuition that you are guided to make specific decisions by that intuition. There's also the perspective that intuition is a spiritual aspect, that it comes to you from a higher source. And any of these definitions can be correct. And all of them at once can be correct. I'm not here to debate the correctness of the definition. In fact, I'm going to challenge you to take note of your own intuition. Take time to sit for 5 minutes and decide if you are a person that listens to your, you know, your instant processing that your brain. Your brain is brilliant. Your brain knows certain things that you don't consciously even pick up on. And take 5 minutes, take a little bit of quiet time, and think of times when you've tapped into your intuition, whether it was a bad feeling, a gut feeling, an intuitive push to do something that was exciting, something spontaneous that you would have never done, but sounded, you know, just sounded right in the moment, that can also be your intuition. So think of times when you have actually used your intuition and acted on the reaction that you got, for better or worse. You know, sometimes our intuition is telling us that something is a wrong choice for us, and we still make that choice, and it doesn't work out right. So intuition can go both ways, by listening to it or not. And there's that saying that if it looks right but feels wrong, it's fear. But if it looks wrong but feels right, it's intuition. There's a lot of instances, I feel like, where that phrase doesn't work. But I do like the thought of, if it looks wrong, so my logic is telling me that can't be the right choice, but it feels right, that it's intuition. And I think that's a lot of the times, making big decisions in my life, it will feel wrong to me because it's the fear talking in my life. The fear of, you know, looking a certain way, the fear of reacting poorly, the fear of perception. But if it looks wrong but feels right, it's intuition. So I genuinely want something to happen, or I genuinely am drawn to something that's good for me. And those two, sort of like fear and intuition, kind of combat in our logical decision processing. So I want you to think about, again, I want you to think about ways that your intuition has told you things, or helped you through things, or triggered something, some good, or triggered you to shy away from something, or when you didn't listen to your intuition and it worked out poorly. So those, that's kind of your starting your own definition of what your intuition feels like, looks like in your life, and how that's actually affected you before, like your history with intuition. What does that look like? Now, after you start defining intuition in your own life, how it feels to you, what it looks like, how you can, you know, interact with it on a more productive level, then I want you to kind of take that definition for yourself, and I want you to turn it into what that intuition means in your life. So what does that mean for you? Maybe it's no effect. Maybe it is an effect that you can actually take and disseminate and, you know, create steps. Or maybe it's really just gut feelings here and there, that when you get those pings, you want to listen to it. Everybody's different. Everybody has different circumstances and culture, social upbringings that allow them to have, you know, varying degrees of intuitiveness in their lives. But I want you to think of intuition and in ways that are relatable to you. So I'm going to read you a list of similar words to intuition that maybe you can relate to those words a little closer than the word intuition. So intuition is instinctive and instinctual, right? It seems like it's our base instincts instead of being evolved processing. It can be very innate. It can be inborn. Maybe you feel your intuition similar to somebody else in your family, or you feel like it's a connective draw to your lineage. It's inherent, right? Something that you didn't, it's not a skill that maybe you grew up learning how to use. It's untaught, so it can be very raw. It can need reforming. It can also be very triggering for a lot of people to have this sort of wily intuition that's factoring into their lives. It's unlearned, so it's not, for most people, I would say, intuition is not a learned skill. You're not taught to, you know, you don't sit down in elementary school in the United States and say, okay, we're going to talk about intuition today. Everybody take 5 minutes and put your hand on your heart and just take some deep breaths. What are you feeling? that's not how we engage with intuition. It's natural, it's inbuilt, it's built in, ingrown, and automatic. So I want you to think of those words: instinctive, instinctual, innate, ingrown, automatic, natural, untaught, unlearned. And I want you to focus on, what does that look like in your life? What is that basic meaning in your life? Whether that's you're drawn to a specific color of car or specific wardrobe palette. Maybe you are really instinctive about plants. Maybe you engage with nature more readily than the people around you. Maybe it's more like untaught. You kind of have this, it kind of swoops into your life and it'll be readily available for a certain section of your life, and then it swoops back out and you feel like you're out of, you know, you're in and out of touch with it, like a, you know, like that estranged aunt that just comes to the reunion, nobody really knows what to do with her, and then swoops back out, and 5 years later you kind of reconnect again at the next reunion. Maybe your intuition's like that. There is no wrong way for your intuition to be a part of your life. But I want you to discover what that means to you. Like, if maybe you want to get to know that crazy aunt that comes to the reunion, maybe that's for you. So maybe you want to tap into your intuition. Maybe you're okay with it only coming in when you have split second decisions. You know, maybe if you have these long-term decisions that you're making, you don't want your intuition mucking up your logic. I don't know what that looks like for you. But if you're looking for meaning in your intuition, you're simply tapping into your local register of how you perceive the world. That's an important awareness to develop, only because it puts us more in tune with how we truly feel about things. And in a world where the news is inflammatory and the, you know, social interactions can get inflammatory. We had an election year. We've had a global pandemic. We have, you know, just divisive natures of neighborhood makeups. All sorts of things can divide us. But intuition puts us squarely at the point of, what do we feel good about? How do we actually engage our own drive and desires and instinctiveness while also engaging with these outside factors? Personally, my intuition means a inner guidance system, something that there's been plenty of times, and I would say plenty of times just in 2021, right? We're in May, we're in the fifth month of the year. We just barely started it, so we're not that far along in the year, and I feel like every few days I look back and think, oh, I had an instinctive ping that I needed to do that task or it would catch up to me, or I had an instinctive urge to get ahead in that school reading and I didn't, and now I'm taking the test and I wish I would have gone back over that chapter when I had that minute of time, or that, you know, I pass a neighbor who happens to be a widow, and if I didn't stop and talk to her, I wouldn't have known that I wouldn't have that chance for a while because they got taken to a care center. Things like that, that it's just an intuitive ping that usually for me, I look back and regret the pings I didn't follow. So for me, it's more of a practice getting in tune with listening to those a little bit faster. And for me, it's the knowing without telling me, right? I really am a list person. So if it appears on my list, I'm more likely to get it done. Intuition doesn't make a list for me. It's literally like, oh, hey, that's a good idea right this second. It's more of a spontaneous guidance. And so that's what it means for me personally, but maybe for you, it should look different. My intuition will not work for everyone, and everyone else's intuition should probably maybe just inform my decisions of how to listen. Like, you know, it could be just a learning experience for me to tap into listening to my intuition better. Finally, we're going to talk about, so we've gone through the definition. We've gone over what does intuition mean to you personally. And then finally, we're going to talk about practicing our intuition and ways that that can happen for us. Now, intuition, again, it's really sort of a quick, spontaneous gut feeling. It's something that you need to just notice in passing and be able to either act on, or that constant nagging of, hey, this isn't good for you. Hey, this isn't good for you. Hey, this isn't good for you. Maybe try something else. So just two quick little things to start your practice of getting more intuitive. Just one is, when do you feel good? Right? Maybe your intuition is telling you after you eat certain foods, you don't feel so great. Maybe your intuition is saying after you binge watch Netflix for 6 shows in a row, you don't feel good. Or maybe it's saying, hey, when you took that walk 3 days in a row during COVID, that was really good. So let's go for day number 4. Or, hey, you really enjoyed that yoga class, even though you felt like it maybe didn't give you the aerobic workout you were looking for. It was relaxing and it was good for your muscles to stretch. So your body's intuition is pushing you towards those times when you feel good. And the more you recognize feeling good, the more you're drawn to those good things. And I don't think intuitively our body is saying, hey, pass the Doritos. I want to sit on the couch for 4 days and not shower and just eat junk. Intuitively, your body says, okay, ways that I'm going to feel good are engaging with something productive. That can look like a whole lot of things. Good and, you know, engaging with something good, or ways to feel good look different to everyone. But I think intuitively, once you start tapping into what times do you feel good? When do you feel good? Tap into those times, and intuitively you will start driving towards those good things. Now, in the reverse, I kind of started with this example, but in the reverse, knowing when do you feel bad? Okay, so maybe you feel bad after you, not that I'm drawing from personal experience, but after you ate the whole sleeve of Girl Scout cookies, maybe that was a bad feeling. Right? So intuitively, maybe you're drawn to fresher vegetables. I don't know what that looks like for you. For me, it's cucumbers. They are great. But when you feel bad is, in 2021, I eliminated gluten, and I did it because intuitively, I felt bad and bloated and awful every time I ate gluten. And it would just, you know, exponentially create more of a problem. So your intuition is tied to the things that make our lives better. So it will draw out those bad things that you need to be paying attention to in order to eliminate. Sometimes I know that I have in the past kind of felt that intuitive nudge towards food, thinking that, oh, I'm hungry for that. But once I tapped into my intuitive eating, I recognize that maybe some of those foods didn't make me feel good. So my intuition was maybe trying to warn me off of those things. However it works for you, I want you to start thinking of the times when you feel good and what factors led into that feeling good. And, you know, pursue more of those things. Then when do you feel bad and what factors created that feeling? And then pull yourself away or refill that bad behavior or that bad food or that bad time or that bad feeling with something positive. So when you are feeling intuitive about an experience and it feels bad, simply rewire or push for better next time. Now, I want you to also remember that your intuition is lovely. You already have a lovely intuition. It is simply, this is where we get hippie. I'm just warning you. You already have a lovely intuition that is already pushing you towards the good things. We want things to make us healthier. Your body knows what it needs. Your body knows what it needs to be healthy and happy. And it's pushing you towards those things. Sometimes we read into it wrong. You know, that tub of ice cream for me may look like a sweet treat that will make me feel better, when in reality, I'm looking to connect with a good friend. Sometimes we have to rewire those connections, and sometimes a good friend's not available, so I just need a scoop of ice cream. I mean, I'm dairy-free, but at the same time, you know what I mean? I need a sweet treat sometimes. Sometimes a friend is not available, but that should be in the minority. If we tap into our intuition and we can actually say, okay, these things are drivers for good. These things are drivers that make me not feel so good. How can I change those to make it better? How can I refocus on the good? So that's kind of, when do you feel good? When do you feel bad? Those are the basic intuition guidance. If you can start pinpointing what those mean in your own life, in your own words, you will be far better off tapping into your intuition, because legitimately, again, using hippie words here, our intuition wants the best for you. So it wants you to be happy, healthy, well-rounded, with a close group of friends and support system. All of those things are good in your life. That is how we are hardwired, and your intuition is pushing you towards those things. So a lot of those things can, you know, round out with questions like, do you not like being around someone? Why is that? Do you love being around someone? And, you know, sometimes you leave wishing that you had gotten more time to spend with them. Why is that? Do you dread certain tasks? Why do you dread certain tasks? You know, maybe you had to hand wash the dishes as a kid and you hated it and it made your hands hurt. And so you dread it. So you, you know, load the dishwasher at all costs. Don't ever hand wash something. That would be, you know, a reason to address that task. Okay, just either acknowledge that that's the way the task goes, find a solution, find a new avenue of creating, you know, a solution for yourself. Those sorts of things are intuitive. And then I want you to just finally here at the end, do you have a hard time understanding your own reactions? A lot of times we like to categorize our reactions as being fight or flight or freeze. And, you know, it's just animalistic and it's just our, you know, preconditioning, or it's just our family culture, or whatever it may be. We like to label things and then put it on the back burner or shove it down again. But if your reactions to things, especially the negative reactions, if you, you know, have a short fuse in certain situations, if you dread certain tasks, if you are not happy, you know, driving to a certain location, all of those things are your intuition saying, there's something about this that does not make me happy. How do I adjust? For me, you know, it might be a certain grocery store makes it so that I'm always, like, it's laid out inefficiently for me. So I have to zigzag all over the store and it's inefficient and it wastes my time. Or maybe it's something like, I don't like it when my car is dirty. I don't like getting in it. And then when I have to drive kids around a whole lot, I get grumpy. I'm a grumpier mom when my car is not clean. Things like that. Understanding that my reaction has nothing to do with the fact that I'm driving kids around. It's way more to do with the environment in which I am placed before that reaction happens. So understanding that when you feel good and when you feel bad are intuitive flags for how you're being guided, and then understanding your own reactions is how we kind of refocus our intuition and get refocused, so that inevitably we really do lead happier lives, because we are drawn to the good, we are drawn to the better, and we are able to have the capacity to fix the bad into good or better. So I hope all of that intuitive rambling made sense. You know, we talked about the definition of intuition, how it's innate, Then we talked about personal meaning of intuition, what that means in our own lives. And then I gave you a few tips of how to engage with your intuition a little bit better. And seeing as how we're at 30 minutes of intuitive instruction here, I just want to say happy Mother's Day to all of the mothers out there, and thank you for all of the wonderful people and women who have been an influence for good on my life, and I hope you have a wonderful weekend. Please, please, please don't forget to go out and enjoy yourself for at least 5 minutes, more if possible. Thanks for listening.